Hey, hey, have you heard? It's your host, Chris DeMakes, and I'm headed back to the Punk Rock Museum. That's right, the powers that be have invited me back, and I couldn't be more excited. Allow me to be your guide as we wind through 5 decades of punk rock history, merchandise, and memorabilia. Cinco de Mayo weekend, Friday, May 3rd, Saturday, May 4th, and Sunday, May 5th. There'll be 2 tours each day at 12:30 p.m. and 4 p.m. And the best part for me is you. Your stories, your questions, your experiences. Yep, some of you old punkers have taught this guy a thing or two on these tours, and I love it. Head over to thepunkrockmuseum.com for tickets. Don't miss out. Only 30 spots per tour. Get your tickets now at thepunkrockmuseum.com.
Hey, everybody. Chris Ophalius here. We're getting pretty deep into 2021 now, and I wanted to take a moment here and look back at some albums that became classic this year. I've always been under the impression that a song or album or whatever became classic after 25 years. I don't know if that's the standard or not, really. I think I heard that somewhere, but that's what I'm going with here. And if that's the case, then that means we're talking about some albums that came out in 1996. 1996 was a pretty pivotal year for me personally. I turned 16 and I started driving, so it's pretty safe to say that I was listening to a lot of these on a Discman that was connected to a tape deck with one of those cassette converters. If you had one, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So anyway, 96 started with one of the worst blizzards in American history over here in the Northeast. And then on January 28th, the Dallas Cowboys beat my Pittsburgh Steelers 27-17 in Super Bowl 30. A few weeks after that, though, Tupac released All Eyes on Me, which you'll see on pretty much every list ever of best hip-hop albums of all time. The album featured hits like I Ain't Mad At Ya and Thug Passion, and, of course, the song that I haven't left off a party playlist in probably decades, California Love.
Fresh out of jail, California dreaming. Soon as I step on the scene, I'm hearing Hoochie screaming. Fiending for money and alcohol, the life of a West Side player with cowards die in a strong ball. Only in Cali will we riot, not rally to live and die. In LA, we wear chucks, not valleys.
Yeah, that's right.
Dressed in loafs and khaki suits and ride is what we do. Flossing but have caution, we collide with other troops. Famous because we throw grams. Worldwide, let them recognize.
Later that year in September, Tupac would die at 25 years old as a result of a drive-by shooting in Las Vegas. The album All Eyes on Me is now the same age as Tupac was when he passed away. A little later that year, on April 16th, Rage Against the Machine released Evil Empire. I'd already been a Rage fan, and I'm pretty sure I got this CD the day it came out, so I was a very small part in this album hitting number one on the Billboard charts in its debut week. You're welcome, Rage Against the Machine. In actuality, I should be thanking them for opening my eyes to a lot of injustice in the world and really shaping my little impressionable brain to think outside of my own little bubble. Plus, this album absolutely rocks. It has hits like Bulls on Parade and People of the Sun, and the song Tire Me actually won the 1996 Grammy for Best Metal Performance.
I wanna wear a pair of dark sunglasses. I wanna be Jackie. Oh, 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 please don't die! Yeah, you're trying to tire me to see you in front of me, follow me. You're trying to tire me, why don't you get from in front of me?
On July 23rd, we got the debut album from a 19-year-old New York City singer-songwriter named Fiona Apple. That album featured hits like Shadow Boxer and Criminal, and Criminal actually won a Grammy 2 years later, which kind of shows the staying power of this album. It was one of the most critically acclaimed albums of 1996. My favorite song from this one was actually the intensely emotional Never Is a Promise.
But as the scenery grows, I see in different lands. The shades and shadows undulate in my perception. My feelings swell and stretch, I see from greater heights. I realize.
1 week later, Sublime's self-titled album came out. Bradley Knoll had tragically passed away from a heroin overdose 2 months earlier, and he never got to see the massive success of this album that went on to sell 5 million copies by the end of the 90s. I still remember seeing the music video for What I Got on MTV while I was eating my Honey Nut Cheerios in the morning and absolutely loving it. This album had so many hits. I think it's one of those albums that's so classic that every song feels like a hit. But yeah, What I Got, Santeria, Wrong Way, all songs you'll still hear regularly today. My favorite on this album, though, which just always makes me think of driving around with my friends in the summertime, is Jailhouse. Go!
House gets empty. Rudy gets plenty.
September 24th of 1996 would be a landmark day in rock history. And that's because Weezer released Pinkerton, the album that started as a disappointment, both from the response from critics and from sales, but became an ultimate cult classic, maybe the ultimate cult classic. The album was written while Rivers was studying at Harvard, and the band self-produced and recorded it between his terms in college. This was the last album with Matt Sharp on bass, and yeah, this album just feels so authentic and emotional and real, and I think that's why it stood the test of time.
All the redheads said you shred the cello. And I'm jello, baby. You won't talk, won't look, won't think of me. I'm the epitome, a public enemy. Why you wanna go and do me like that? Come down on the street and dance with me. I'm a lie like you.
Okay, for a little more pop culture historical context, it was this same week in 1996 that the Nintendo 64 was released, which I'm sure had a lot of crossover appeal with Weezer fans. And it's crazy that September 24th, 1996 was not only the release date of Pinkerton, but also of Everything Sucks from the Descendants. What a day. 1996 had some noteworthy releases in the world of ska punk, which was just about to explode, such as Goldfinger's self-titled debut album, which came out in February of 96, and The Suicide Machine's Destruction by Definition, which came out on May 21st, and, of course, on November 12th, it was the album that would serve as my musical introduction to the host of Krista Makes a Podcast. That's right, Less Than Jake's Losing Streak. I know every word to this album, and I'm sure a decent amount of people who are listening to this right now do as well. I can still remember being mesmerized by the music video for Automatic when I saw it on MTV's 120 Minutes, which I watched every week. And I could not wait to go see them live and be part of all that fun.
Wind rules, just got me to blindly follow.
Well, anyway, I hope you all enjoyed that quick little look back on some albums that just recently became technically classic, according to me. Maybe give them all a listen today and stop by the Krista Makes a Podcast Facebook group and share some memories that these albums bring out in you, or maybe some albums from 1996 that I didn't mention that you consider a classic. Whatever. We just love talking music with all of you who listen. Hell yeah, man.
Hey, this is Chris Swinney, formerly of the Ataris and currently host of That One Time on Tour, part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Have you ever wondered what it's really like on the road? The highs can be euphoric, but the lows can be crushing. Join me every week as I chat with industry pros about what it's like living out their wildest dream and, in some cases, their worst nightmare. Past guests of the show include members of NoFX, Pennywise, Bad Religion, and more. Listen and subscribe at SoundTalentMedia.com.
Ever wonder what a punch from Elton John feels like?
Or how you'd cope with having turned down the chance to be in Nirvana?
Or what signal Keith Richards gives when he wants you to get the hell out of his hotel room?
Fans of Too Much Effing Perspective don't have to wonder, because they've heard these exact stories and a jillion others on our podcast. I'm Alex Hoffman, former tour manager for Radiohead.
And I'm musician and comedy writer Alan Keller. On the TMEP show, we get guests like Nancy Wilson from Heart, Jeremiah Freights from the Lumineers, and Modern Family's Julie Bowen to tell us things they may have only shared with their therapist, clergy, or a TMZ stringer.
So join us on Too Much Effing Perspective. That's EFFING Perspective. The only podcast you crank up to 11.